Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, but also to welcome to the programme four exciting, talented and extrovert players of this game. It's a great pleasure always to welcome back, sitting on my right, that wonderful, outstanding and popular comedian, Paul Merton. And seated beside him, we have a young comedian who's making a great name for himself, so we welcome Alan Cochrane. And seated on my left, we have that master of lyrics and musical comedy shows and a dedicated cricket follower, that is Tim Rice. And beside him, we sit another engaging comedy performer and producer, Chris Neal. Would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation or repetition or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Charlotte Davies, who's going to help me with a score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the delightful Everyman Theatre in that really beautiful town of Cheltenham in the heart of Gloucestershire. And we have a wonderful Gloucester audience here, just eager for us to get going. Oh, and Paul, we'd like you to start the show on what a lovely topical subject, the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Can you talk on that subject? 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
The Cheltenham Gold Cup is one of the oldest races in the racing calendar. In fact, Cheltenham is full of Irish people, I'm told, when it comes round for the Gold Cup season. And they, what they do is they come to the stations, they stand around in bus queues, they basically eat edgy-oh.
Tim, you've challenged.
I think there was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation. So, Tim, you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject. There are 47 seconds available. It's the Cheltenham Gold Cup with you starting now.
The Cheltenham Gold Cup dates back about 200 years. It has been won by many distinguished horses, such as Make a Stand, Red Rum, Green Brandy, Yellow Whiskey, Blue Beer.
Chris challenged.
I'm not sure which ones are wrong, but... I would suggest that they're not all right.
They were not all right. No, no, there was no green whiskey, I know for sure. Red rum was there. It was a nice try, Tim, but no, I agree with you, deviation. So,
that's it, yeah.
Chris, you have a point, and you have 35 seconds to get Cheltenham Gold Cup starting now.
The Cheltenham Gold Cup is a horse race, which is where horses start at the same time, all next to each other, and then they run, and blimey, it's exciting.
Tim, you've challenged.
There was a definite hesitation there.
It wasn't definite, but it was enough for me to...
I think I'm with Nicholas on that one. It wasn't definite at all.
But enough for me to grant you a hesitation, Tim. Another point to you. And 26 seconds, the Cheltenham Gold Cup starting now. Chris challenged.
Hesitation.
Oh, right. Or should we say retaliation?
Oh, yeah.
No, he didn't hesitate enough. But I tell you what, Chris, to be fair, the audience enjoyed your interruption, so
not
we give you
them.
A bonus point for that.
They did over there. Yes, they loved it.
Yeah. The chap up there was...
He hated it, but I'm ignoring him.
He left in disgust.
Tim, so you've got another point and you have the subject. 25 seconds, the Cheltenham Gold Cup starting now.
The entire town of Cheltenham, if not the complete county of Gloucestershire, comes to a grinding halt when this magnificent event takes place in the spring, in March, or possibly in April, if it's a certain time of...
Oh. Paul, you've challenged.
Narcolepsy.
Yes.
Suddenly fell asleep in the middle of it. Yeah.
Well,
hesitation.
Hesitation, of course, yes.
I myself to a halt.
Yes, well, it's obviously a challenging subject for all of you, but there are 11 seconds for you, Paul, the Cheltenham Gold Cup starting now.
One of my fondest pieces of memorabilia is from here, indeed, Cheltenham. The Gold Cup, as it originally was called back in 1876, was stolen by my grandfather from a jeweller's windows. And I should say this now, and the police are still...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. He's alongside Tim Rice in the lead, then Chris Neal, and then Alan Cochrane. But then Alan hasn't spoken yet, so he couldn't have got any points, could he?
Hello.
Could we give him a bonus point for a hello? I don't know. Anyway, Tim, would you take the next round? The subject is cold feet. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I could talk for a long time about penguins on this subject, but I would rather talk about a fantastic band called Cold Feet, which was a combination of Coldplay...
Paul Challenge.
It was a repetition of Talkabout.
Yes, I'd rather
talk about
that.
Yes, I admit
that. Yes, so that was a repetition. Well, listen, Paul, and you've got in with 51 seconds to go on Cold Feet, starting now.
Cold Feet could be down to poor circulation or simply the inability to do something. You've got to rush towards life, grab it by the throat until it's absolutely dead and throttled. And then you can say to yourself, oh, I have got cold feet no more. I have got, in fact, hot...
Chris Challenge.
Two I have.
I have got,
oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So a point to you, Chris. And
it's more of a catchphrase. Phrase really with me,
yes.
Isn't it?
37 seconds, Chris. So cold feet starting now.
My old grandmother always used to say cold feet, warm heart, but she was a slightly dim woman. She would go,
Tim, you've challenged, yes.
Well, apart from the rather tasteless, vicious attack on a sweet relative, you also.
You know
hesitated.
Nothing of her.
All right.
Anyway, you're not there to pass comment on other people's things. What is your challenge when the rules...
Hesitation. He stumbled.
Yes, a stumble becomes a hesitation. 30 seconds are available, Tim, for cold feet starting now.
Cold feet usually means that one is frightened of something, unable to get to grips with a situation, scared to move into a new region of life. This happens to us all, and we should not be ashamed. We should immediately dash down to... I said to we should, so no one spotted
Alan,
it.
Alan, You've challenged.
Well, I think it was a hesitation, and also
no, he said he repeated we should.
Oh, he repeated we should.
Yes.
All right, fair enough.
So you very cleverly got in.
Can't help but feel assisted there. This is wonderful. It sounds harder than this on the radio. Yeah.
16 seconds available for you, Alan, on cold feet starting now.
If I were to propose to a lady, I wouldn't buy her a wedding ring. I would simply buy her some thermal socks in order to avoid her standing me up at the altar and the excuse of cold feet. If you've got thermal socks, that's...
It's a tough game, Alan.
Life's cruel.
And Chris has got in with 3 seconds to go on cold feet starting now.
Tim Rice and I were going to have a torrid affair and then I got cold feet.
So Chris Neal, speaking as a whistle end, got that extra point and other points around. He's now taking the lead, actually, ahead of Tim Rice and Paul Merton in that order. Alan's coming up behind. And Alan, will you take the next round? The subject is the School of Hard Knocks. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I attended the School of Hard Knocks, followed by the University of Life, where I was expelled for bad behaviour. And I also attended the creche for people with...
Tim Challenge, yes.
Two attendeds.
So, Tim, you've got him with 50 seconds on the School of Hard Knocks starting now.
When I was younger, so much less old than I am today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now...
Alan, you've challenged.
Surely you did.
I was getting round to hard knocks. I was saying that when I was young, I was able to cope with everything, and now I'm clapped out and over the hill. Life's pretty tough. That's...
I have to say, that's the kind of statement that goes down quite well in Cheltenham, isn't it?
I think I must say, it's a very difficult one to judge, and I give the benefit of the doubt to Alan, but I will try and redress it later on with you, Tim, if you don't mind.
So there are
42 seconds for you, Alan, on the School of Hard Knocks, starting now.
Murfield High School is now known as Free Grammar, but actually it's the School of Hard Knocks. When I was there, Osama bin Laden was a supply teacher who was sent home because of stress-related disorder. When the school meals were served, it was actually Gordon Ramsay, and he got angry. They weren't very good.
Chris.
You can't say can you?
No.
That's one
Chris.
Of the rules.
Hesitation.
Yes, that's a tough one, but it's right, Chris. So you've got the subject. 23 seconds, the School of Hard Knocks starting now.
The School of Hard Knocks, or as it's also known, Cheltenham Ladies' College, is a place where people have to strive to find their place in the world. I've said place twice.
Paul Challenge.
Yeah, I said place 3 times.
Three times. So, Paul, you've got a correct challenge. Another point. 13 seconds. The School of Hard Knocks starting now.
It's a phrase used by people who perhaps didn't have university education.
Tim Challenge.
I thought he stumbled there.
No, he didn't. He was going with fluency.
I thought you were going to give me the benefit of the doubt next time.
No. I will when I think you deserve it.
Oh, fine. OK. Yes. As long as we know where we are.
Fighting for that one now. Sorry,
Could I have the benefit of the doubt, please?
I've given you one already.
OK.
Yes. Tim's waiting for his. You'll probably get it. But, Paul, you...
Could I have a cappuccino? Yeah. Instead of the benefit for the doubt.
No, you're going to have 10 seconds and the School of Hard Knocks starting now.
So, when you go through life and the various knocks come towards you, you learn from your setbacks. That's what the phrase means. Instead of perhaps being at some glorious...
Tim, challenge.
Repetition of phrase. Now, he used phrase in the previous chunk.
Ah, he did.
Yes.
When he was speaking before, he used the word phrase.
I don't think I said it once, did I?
All right.
Is there a train coming?
I think the audience are coming towards us. I don't know. I thought you said phrase before, but it doesn't really matter.
Shall we go down the pub, then? Shall we go down the pub?
Tim, we give you a benefit of the doubt on that one and
good
a point.
Decision. Good
but,
decision.
But Paul keeps the subject. He's got 1 second. The School of Hard Knocks starting now.
Bang, they said.
So Paul was speaking as the whistle went, got that extra point, and with others in the round, he's taken the lead just one ahead of Chris Neal, who's one ahead of Tim Rice, who's two ahead of Alan Cochran. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject is I Spy. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, it was a popular television series in the 1960s, starring Robert Culp and Bill Cosby.
Yes, right. Tim?
I'm afraid there was an error.
There was an error.
Grappled with the information.
Yes, yep. Tim, you've got him with 52 seconds on I Spy, starting now.
Going back to an era which perhaps only our esteemed and brilliant chairman and I can remember, there was an establishment in the News Chronicle paper called I Spy, in which you sent off things you'd spotted to Big Chief I Spy, and he rewarded you, bizarrely, with a feather of a different colour.
Chris Challenge.
More a question. Is this just rubbish?
No, exactly.
They all happen.
I Spy was a major... Oh, you ignorant fool.
I'll ask you, Chris, have you ever heard of the News Chronicle?
Well, that...
No, you haven't, obviously.
Well, let's go back a bit. Have you heard of newspapers?
If we start newspapers, I'm all right. Okay. Yes. No, we start
News
there.
Chronicle was a very famous newspaper, and there was a column in it
with
called
a feather in it.
No, that you was a prize.
If you spotted things, you got feathers.
Got feathers.
You would have loved it.
Do you look in my soul and see a man who likes feathers?
So there's an incorrect challenge, Tim, and you have 36 seconds starting now.
Of course, I Spy is a children's game, which is perhaps the very first pastime you get a grip on as a toddler or nipper. I spy with my little eye something beginning with A.
Audience. It was right.
That was lovely. That was lovely, Chris. But we're not playing I Spy. We're playing Just a Minute. But I tell you what, we give you a bonus point because we all enjoy your interruption. But Tim was interrupted, so he has 24 more seconds if he wants them to continue on I Spy, starting now.
I Spy, what a terrific occupation that was. In the back of the car, I remember my father as we sped down the A1 or sometimes the A2.
Chris Challenge.
Repetition of A, as he said. Right, yes. A1.
Well, yes. Hang on, A1, that's not A, it's A1.
No, no.
A2.
And it's written separately, A,
yeah.
And then a 1.
A1 is written A1.
No, no.
No, I agree
Step
with you,
outside
Chris.
With me and look. Yes.
Don't bother to argue. I know what I'm going to say. Chris, you have a correct challenge.
Thank you, Nicholas. You are very wise.
15 seconds, I Spy, starting now.
If you were to ask an employee of GCHQ, which is fairly near here, they might say to the question, what do you do for a living? I spy.
Alan, new challenge then.
Well, they might not. They could work in the kitchen.
Shepherd spy.
They might not, yes. But I tell you, Alan, what we do there, we enjoy the interruption. We give you a bonus point for that. But, of course, Chris did say they might say, I spy. I work in the GCHQ. Chris, another point to you. And, gosh, you've only got 1 second left. I Spy, starting now.
I Spy!
Chris Neal was then speaking as the whistle when gained an extra point, and he has moved forward in that round. I Spy was his subject, wasn't it? And he's now two ahead of Paul Merton and Tim Rice, they're equal in second place, and then Alan Cochran. Tim! Well, someone's got to be fourth. And it's a brilliant fourth, actually. It's the best fourth we've had for a long time. And Alan Cochrane, take the next round, please. The subject is the average household. Tell us something about the average household, if you can, in this game, starting now.
The average household is a phrase used by people to describe what a typical family uses up in a, say, a normal week.
Chris, your challenge.
Well, it's probably not, is it? It's just rubbish.
I did lose the power of speech.
You can't have him for deviation. I mean, he was talking perfectly. I mean, you can keep going in just a minute with any kind of rubbish you like.
We can't start having rubbish as a challenge, can we?
No.
You'd never get going.
You could have had him for hesitation, but it's too late now. He's gone. No. Alan, you have another point, because you can use whatever rubbish you want. Keep going. Right.
Great.
52 seconds. The average household starting now.
The average household has two bedrooms, one kitchen, a bathroom, a living room, and various other areas
of
the
house. Challenge.
No front door.
I was coming up to that.
Oh, he's coming up to the front door. OK, I'll withdraw my challenge. He's coming up to the front door.
Withdraw it. Once you've interrupted, he stops his flow, and so he gets a point for an incorrect challenge. So
I was just wondering about the front door, that's all.
I know you were, and we loved it. 44 seconds. Alan, the average household, starting now.
An integral part of any average household is a front door. A garage, a budgie, 2.4...
Paul, challenge.
No windows. You were coming to that.
I was coming to that.
I withdraw my challenge.
You can't withdraw. We give you a bonus point, Paul, because we enjoyed the interruption. But, Alan, you get a point because you were interrupted, and you keep the subject. 37 seconds, the average household, starting now.
The best part of any average household...
Tim, challenge.
Two parts.
Yes, you had the part before. Yes, best part. You haven't...
Here they come again.
You haven't won any friends with your challenge, Tim, but it was correct, and you have 35 seconds, the average household, starting now.
What is the average household? I hear you cry.
Alan, challenge.
I was just telling you before you interrupted me.
So, Alan, they enjoyed that interruption. You get a bonus point for that. But Tim was interrupted, so he gets a point, and he has 33 seconds for the average household, starting now.
I maintain, controversially perhaps, that there is no such thing as the average household. It is extremely difficult to nail down accurate figures or statistics proving that so-and-so is... All one word.
Chris, is it all one word?
Of course.
So-and-so?
Yes, like A1.
Oh.
No, it isn't. It's so and so. So there's
so hyphen and hyphen so.
Isn't it?
No, it's
hyphenated.
It's separated by an and. So and so.
Yeah, but there's little hyphens that the so and the and.
No,
I'm supporting.
Doesn't the hyphen usually take place of the and?
What? Well, it wouldn't be so so.
It wouldn't be so so so. That would be a Chinese takeaway, wouldn't it?
Yes.
No, and listen, I don't know why you're arguing against me, because I'm supporting you
because
on this.
Because I'm a decent, fair kind of person, actually.
Yes. Well, I mean, I would say that...
But no, he was wrong.
I agree. So 19 seconds for you, Chris, on the average household, starting now.
The average household a few years ago would have 2.4 children, which is a particularly awkward number when you're buying bunk beds, I find. Parents would be there.
All challenge.
We did have a...
Yes, we had an there. He hesitated. Paul, you're back in with the average household. No, with the subject of the average household. And there are 9 seconds starting now.
The average household, if you look at it, generally consists of these things. Windows, of course. Front door, absolutely essential. But then you've got bedroom, bathroom...
So Paul has again maintained his lead with extra points and others in the round, and it's the same sequence, actually, again, Chris Neal, Tim Rice and Alan Cochrane in that order. But Alan's creeping up on the others, not far behind. Chris, your turn to begin. The subject now is fruitcake. Tell us something about... There's nothing funny in the subject. But I'm sure you'll make it funny, Chris, starting now.
How appropriate to be given the subject fruitcake. Let's think of the things that go into it. Raisins, sultanas, currants, other dried fruit, possibly figs, peaches, various nuts, walnuts, cob nuts, almonds, flaked...
Tim, challenge.
Too many nuts.
Too many nuts.
No. Cob nuts and walnuts are one word.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. A1.
We don't spell walnuts as... is one word and
cob nuts is two words.
Cob nuts is not two words.
It is.
It isn't.
It is two words. You challenged on what basis?
On too many nuts.
No, there weren't too many
nuts. Repeating of nuts.
Because he said walnut and cob nuts.
But before that, he said several kinds of nuts, such as cob nuts.
Oh, right, he did. All right, you're correct. He did say several kinds of nuts. Yes, Tim, you've gone in with 45 seconds. The whole thing's getting nuts.
Stone of crows.
Fruitcake is with you starting now.
Fruitcake, this brings back such happy memories of a childhood gilded with privilege and cake.
All challenged.
Repetition of...
Yes, I should explain to Alyssa, for those who couldn't see, he was actually slobbering over the microphone, and I agree with your challenge.
It was all one slobber. There were no hyphens in my slobber.
But a correct challenge, Paul, and you have 37 seconds on fruitcake starting now.
In less enlightened days, it was a term used for those who were mentally ill. Look at that fruitcake over there, people used to say. But now we live in a better time where we can see that actually mental health issues are as important to us as they are to everybody else. We don't get ashamed if we break our legs, so why should we be particularly bothered if we have a huge manic episode that involves killing a lot of people? No reason at all. The best thing to look forward to in this day and age, I think, without any doubt, and I'm...
Tim, challenge.
I think two ages, he said, in earlier age and then this day and age.
Early age? Yeah, I don't know.
No, nor do I know.
Practitioner. Is anybody taping?
I was so I was so carried away with what you were saying. No, in this day and age, and... yes, you did repeat age. I just remember now. It's gone... But it all goes seeps into my subconscious, and then I have to do a quick replay, you see, like that. Comes
buzzing. Think of the word silt.
I used to like you, you know. Tim, correct challenge. 11 seconds. Fruitcake starting now.
It is extremely difficult to encapsulate in a mere 11 seconds the magic, the wonder, the mystery of...
Chris, challenge.
To encapsulate the seconds.
I didn't understand it either, no. Tim, so I think I'll give Chris the benefit of the doubt.
The audience understood every word. They were hanging on them.
Did you understand it?
Yes! Listen to that word no just come resounding.
Must be a funny language you speak in Cheltenham, then. Right. Well, you know, your audience, you give me a difficult one. I'll give them both a point, and Tim, you keep the subject. And there are 10 seconds starting now.
It's even harder in 10 seconds to get over the insane...
Chris, challenge.
Repetition of seconds.
Yes. Chris, you've got him with 7 seconds to go on fruitcake starting now.
Other things you might like to include, a brandy.
Tim, challenge.
Repetition of include. I'm playing to win here. Yes.
So, Tim, you listen well. 5 seconds fruitcake starting now.
What?
Chris, challenge.
Repetition of seconds. I don't know, I just like to finish a subject once.
If you get too keen, the whole thing doesn't finish at all. So
do what I do. Go home and play it on your own. I'm not the only one that does that, am I? I've got little cardboard figures.
Do you win?
Oh, every time. Oh,
All right, 3 seconds on fruitcake, Paul, starting now.
When I look down at my mother's face as she comes...
Right. So, Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle when it's increased his lead, and we're moving into the final round, I have to tell you. Paul Merton has got a definite lead over Tim Rice and Chris Neal, who are equal in second place.
Where but am I?
You're following the...
You're in the top four.
You're in the top four, yes. Yes, in the top four, which is pretty good in this game.
Yeah.
And, Paul, it's your turn to begin, so would you start with jumping on the bandwagon, 60 seconds, starting now.
It's always great fun spotting a bandwagon and jumping on it. If you look at the Arctic Monkeys, they had a particularly spectacular year, 2006, and lots of people who hadn't heard of them suddenly got into their music and were jumping up and down and saying, you look too good and all this sort of stuff. It was fantastic, marvellous, brilliant material. And I also...
Tim, challenge.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. I think brilliant. I, though I didn't get it clearly, it sounded like brilliant to me. It came out. I think that's what he was trying to say. And so, Paul, you have another point.
What he was trying to say. We're all trying in this game.
I we can't help it.
He failed. He tried and well
I'm
done,
I'm lower
Paul.
Down on the evolutionary scale, that's all.
44 seconds, Paul. Jumping on the bandwagon, starting now.
At the fun fair, my favourite ride when I used to go was the bandwagon. And if you're familiar with it, it's like a wagon that's got a band on it. There was also a radio show in 1939 called Bandwagon that starred Arthur Askey and Richard Murdoch. And I was very pleased to be appearing on Just a Minute for the very first time. And I was sitting next to...
Chris Challenge.
Repetition of very.
Yeah.
Yeah, the very first time, yes. So, Chris, you got in with 29 seconds on jumping on the bandwagon, starting now.
It seems in this game that when you talk about nuts, you're jumping on the bandwagon. Walnuts, cob nuts.
Alan Challenge.
Repetition of nuts.
Well, I think we'd established that walnuts is one word and cob nuts is two, so...
Two different lots of nuts. He said nuts before it.
I know, but not in this round.
No. Just then. He said nuts three times in a row.
You're all right.
Did he? Right. OK, Alan.
The thing is, I'm allergic to nuts.
Well, you now have jumping on the bandwagon and you have 24 seconds starting now.
I love jumping on the bandwagon when it comes to nuts. I really like nuts. Ah!
That's the curse of this show, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I was hypnotised by the concept of nuts.
We've all been there.
Yes. 17 seconds for you, Chris, on jumping on the bandwagon, starting now.
Jumping on the bandwagon, what a marvellous thing to do. As Paul says, it speeds along and you get your pace up and there you are, you leap and you're on the back off that very bandwagon.
Alan Challenge.
Deviation, they actually go really slowly, bandwagons.
Not this particular one.
They can pick up speed, bandwagons.
Yeah, I was going downhill, I just didn't mention it.
I didn't realise it was on a steep gradient.
But he was deviating from English as we understand it. So, Alan, why don't you finish your 8 seconds jumping on the bandwagon, starting now?
What I could tell you about jumping on the bandwagon would take exactly 9 seconds, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll begin it this...
Alan Cochrane finished that round and gained an extra point for doing so, and he's finished up in a magnificent fourth place. But the... No, it was... In other words, it was fourth place, but it was magnificent. And just ahead of him in third place was Tim in a very, very credible and excellent third place. And 2 points ahead of him was Chris in a magnificent second place. But out in the lead, 7 points ahead of Chris Neil was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week you are our winner. Thank you. It only remains to me to say... Thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Tim Rice, Alan Cochran and Chris Neil. I also thank Charlotte Davis, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such style. We are grateful to our producer, Talusha Galani, and of course we're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game, and we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Everyman Theatre in Cheltenham, who've cheered us on our way. So from our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the panel, tune in the next time we play Just a Minute! Thank you.